Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Friday morning, it's Friday in Arizona, and I'm coming to you with a John and Dave show, with a John and Dave show in my white hat and blue V-neck. I hope you're having a good Friday. Good morning. Good morning from the kitchen of Heidi Powell. Got my Starbucks. I am ready. It's going to be a good day. Good morning. Good morning, Madison. Good morning, Once Upon a Dot. Good morning, Ari, Tasha. Goodness gracious. Once it hits your lips. Good morning, Planning with Sam, Mia. The gang's all here. The gang's all here. Should we find Mr. John Acuff? Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? I don't see him. I know he's alive. I just texted with him. Hi, Ashley. How's it going? You having a good Friday?
Move your hats. Give the man the respect he deserves. Coming in live from Nashville, Tennessee, it's Mr. John Acuff.
There we go. Look at that.
Hello, handsome.
Hey, hat today, huh? Feeling sporty?
I got a white hat. Well, it's not as much sporty as it is. I forgot to get ready. Okay. We're doing a photo shoot here in a minute. And
really?
It's a boudoir
kind of thing? Like something sexy? Is that?
Nah. It's almost like a creative content day. So like someone shows up and they are shooting a bunch of video content and then some still photography. And we just kind of like keep switching outfits. And someone keeps putting a piece of paper in front of us and says, hey, now you and Heidi are talking about. And we're like, hey, everybody. And we start dancing like monkeys. And it's fantastic.
How long is it going to take?
We start at 9:30. We end at 4:30.
Okay. It's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. It's a lot of things. We just keep on going from one outfit to the next. That's how we roll.
How many outfit changes will you have? Like Beyonce level? Like 42?
Well, here's the thing. I was asked, I asked before I came, what do I need to bring? And they said, well, just wear what you normally wear. Like it's meant to be somewhat casual. I'm like, oh, so I got a V-neck in blue and a V-neck in another shade of blue and then a V-neck in gray and one that's a little bit of a darker gray. It's all I have. All I do is V-necks. All I do is win. So it's great.
That's so funny. And you'll be in a hat for them?
No. I'm going to go take a shower, but it's only 8:30 here. I mean, you know, like the time zone difference.
Oh, you're in Phoenix. Nobody cares about Phoenix time. Well, Arizona is garbage on time zone.
It's so wild. It's nuts. The sun gets up here, by the way, at like 2 a.m. I feel like we're in Alaska. The time zone not changing has thrown off my ability to sleep because the sun starts coming in and you're like, is it the morning? No, it's still the middle of the night. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
I never know what time it is in Arizona. When I get there, I ask somebody and they're usually sweaty and I go, excuse me, sir, who's sweating? And they're holding a cactus weird, but everybody there.
So
if you've never been to Arizona, everybody carries around small cactus.
It's a dry heat.
Yeah. No, dude, you can't tell your mind that when you look at the thermostat and it says 110, like
117, dry, not dry, don't matter. It is hot.
No, that is great. So you're doing that today.
So I'm doing that today. We fly back to Texas tomorrow. We're taking a couple of Heidi's children in part because my now nine-year-old had a birthday last week. We were having the birthday party this weekend. I want to ask because we have set up a thing that has become somewhat of a staple in birthday party celebrating at the Hollis house.
Oh,
a 1.4 mile tall slide is being assembled.
I saw it.
It is a thing that is both terrifying from a liability standpoint. Please sign this waiver. Yeah. Thanks for coming over. But is also like one of the most incredible things ever. What do you do when your kid kids have birthday parties?
Well, we're in the, I mean, one's turning 18, what is today, in 5 days. So she's turning 18 in 5 days. So we're doing it. She wants to do a fancy dinner with her friends. So we got a table for eight at a fancy restaurant. And then we're going to be eating somewhere else in the restaurant to help them figure out the menu. Because they're like,
good.
I know they're going to be like, they're going to under order. And we're like, no, ball out. Like, you can get apps. This is time, you know, or whatever. And
yeah.
So I imagine Jenny will be coming over and going, no, you can't do that. And then, so yeah, so we won't be at the table. There's no slide.
Smart.
But we'll be in the facility so that if they are afraid to order something, we can go, no, like, here's how to do that. Like, you don't order chicken fingers. Like, please don't order chicken fingers. Like, they don't have an adult meal.
Go for it. Yeah.
Exactly. So they'll be all dressed up. So like, that's what we're doing with this one. With your slide, I think it's nice because a kid can get some stitches as a take-home gift.
Like, 100%.
Some people do a gift bag. They can get stitches. That's fun.
The reality is my house in the last year and a half has become something that, and I was joking about it, but it's actually serious. If you want to come over for an extended play date, I'm going to need you to sign this piece of paper because I've got those go-karts in the back and it's been raining a lot. So now it's a slick track. So you can get going, you can get going 25, 27 miles an hour on those babies. You flip one of those over. I know you got a helmet on, but daddy can't be responsible.
Are your kids drifting? Like Tokyo Drift?
Tokyo Drift is happening in the background for sure. 100%. Nice. No Vin Diesel, but there's definitely some drifting happening in the background.
Yeah, those kids are like going to get tattoos at this birthday party. I feel like there's going to be a tattoo artist. I'm like, you live in Austin. It's going to be some hipster doing like anchor or something. Or like, you know,
yeah,
I like that.
We've got a Mumford and Sons tribute band playing in the back. And no, we don't.
Mumford and Uncles? Do you think that, like, what would you name a Mumford and Sons tribute band?
Ooh, that's good. Mumford and Uncles sounds good. I had a Mumford and Sons tribute band playing at the last Christmas party, and they all had just like everything you'd hope, like the long beards, checkered flannels, a hat that I couldn't possibly ever pull off.
They were from Austin, I'm assuming.
Oh yeah. Oh, for sure.
How do you form that? Do you just find four people in Austin and say, do you want to play Mumford and Sons songs? And they all do. And then you take them home in your car.
From what I understand, if you go down to Congress, South Congress Boulevard, and just shout the name of the band that you'd like to assemble, people just start with like Mumford and Sons. And then all of a sudden, anyone.
The Lumineers. I need Lumineers. And then like people come out and like, I got an upright bass.
That's right. That's right.
That is convenient about being in Austin. It's rattlesnakes and hipster musicians. I mean, I live in Nashville. We definitely have musicians. I went to Garth Brooks the other night.
Face, by the way. What?
Whoa, it's too bright. It feels too bright.
You look fantastic. You look like you're aging backwards.
Like I'm on fire. I feel like I'm on fire.
You went to Garth Brooks last night?
No. Saturday night. And it got rained out. Zero song. It got canceled. It was a 5-hour parking experience. And no music. Dude, it was
thunder.
Brutal.
Rolled.
It did.
Literally.
It did. And I was making as many jokes as I knew, and it didn't change anything. And it rained, and it was 75,000 people, and it was and the roads were flooded, so we couldn't get home because the roads were flooded. It was quite an adventure. There's my first question to you. What a segue. What's the last concert you went to that wasn't a Mumford and Sons tribute band?
The last concert I went to was Jay-Z's On the Run tour, or maybe it was Beyonce and Jay-Z. The thing I remember from it, number one, was that like they were the most prepared and incredible performers, but truly the thing that stood out was opening act DJ Khaled, who all he said over and over was like,
DJ Khaled!
I'm DJ Khaled. He just kept saying, like, I know that this is a very obscure reference, but like Ricky Henderson playing baseball back in the day would talk about Ricky Henderson in the third person as though he was not himself Ricky Henderson. DJ Khaled, same exact thing.
Overwhelming. Is it fair to say that DJ Khaled says his name more than Jason Derulo?
Like, Jason Derulo.
Exactly. What if you did that when you entered meetings? Like, you entered a meeting, you're like, Dave Hollis. And maybe you do Mr. for Brandon. I don't know.
Like, God, I wish. I wish there was a little like jingle that went along with Dave Hollis. Yeah. I would do it.
It's good money. It's good money if you can get it. Good money if you can get it. So last concert. Okay, here's the next one.
And you're so you didn't get to go to Garth, but what was your concert previous to Garth Brooks?
Well, I'm going to the Counting Crows this Thursday, so I'm excited about that. They're probably my band. They're probably my band that I listen to, like, August and everything after. Like, I wore out round here. Like, round here, as a moody high schooler, was like, this is about me. Like, I'm writing poetry in my room, like, getting dumped. Last concert I went to, a Dave Barnes concert, maybe 2 years ago. Saw Thad Cockrell, and he was amazing because he had just been on the Tonight Show. Jimmy Fallon heard his song in a hardware store during the pandemic and was encouraged by it. And I was like, I've never heard this guy. Ended up putting Thad Cockrell on the Tonight Show. Thad was an inch away from quitting because Nashville, it's super. And he was telling his manager, I gotta quit. He wrote this long manifesto, and he was like, hey, Tonight Show just called. Jimmy Fallon loves your song. And so, like, that was
you never know what it's gonna be. You never know what it's gonna be.
No, you don't. But you know, unless you're in the arena, it's not gonna be any. Oh, so, like, you never know.
Real quick, let's see. Can I introduce you to my little friend? Oh, yeah,
the first of many. This is the ground troops. There's more coming.
This is the beginning of a new me.
Who did somebody give you that, or did you buy it yourself?
Well, I mean, the thing is, it doesn't make it nearly as cool when I let you know that I got my leather bracelet at Disneyland. But
just say California. We got it in Southern California. Don't worry.
I got it in California. I don't care. Yeah. I'm now wearing a leather bracelet. And I feel like I need a string to go with it. So if you see it over the weekend, I'm testing things out.
I think you're like one step away from multiple leather bracelets. Like,
oh, trust me. I need a little wider one, a little thinner one. They're going to be stacked.
Are you going to have like business ones and casual ones where it's like I'm meeting with somebody who wears a suit? So this one's a little more formal, or are they all something to think about?
You know what's weird? I had a business meeting on Wednesday, wore a tie. I did do a pair of jeans on the bottom, so it was smart.
They call that the boys to men.
Little boys to men.
Little Motown Philly.
Yeah, back again. And I felt like a grown adult, but then I also realized that I looked still dissimilar from every single person that was in the room, and I was just fine with that. So I don't know. I'm just going.
What were your shoes that day?
White sneakers, and they were very white.
See, I can't do white sneakers because they're white for like an hour. Like, I live a pretty aggressive life, and so like stuff gets scuffed. Like, just in general, I'm constantly scuffing. And so
I wore a pair of white shoes on a plane the other day, and then I put my foot under the seat, but it was under that little bar on the aisle. Pulled the white shoe out, and it was like, this shoe used to be white. It's gone. It's done.
All that grease. No, forget. That's what I'm saying.
Done.
Were they woven leather or a sneak? Like, they weren't like Tommy Bahama?
No, not Tommy Bahama. I wouldn't dare. Okay. But it was a leather. I don't know that I would call it woven. It was like, it wasn't patent by any means, but like it was a leather shoe. Yeah.
It was an ostrich or like snake or anything?
Oh, no, I wouldn't dare. No. I'm not going there until
Do you think you could pull off ostrich? You think like if somebody gave you, say like DJ Khaled was like, hey, Dave, thanks for coming to my show and watching me scream my name. I have sneakers for you. Refuse.
What does an ostrich shoe feel like? I mean, like the thing is you could hand me one and I'd be like,
they feel fast and scared. Very fast running, but then you hide from your problem.
I saw a woman who was like an ostrich whisperer, and I don't want to underestimate how terrified I was for her maintaining her life in
the
midst of
this. Where were you that you were around ostrich?
I was on my couch flipping through Instagram. Let's be clear, I watched a video, but it was still terrifying even from the comfort of my own home. And I'm just letting everyone know, if you run into an ostrich, they're not friendly. I would just stay completely away from an ostrich altogether. Thank you very much.
Do you think Disney did that to us? Like, Disney made us think ostriches? Were you part of the problem? I don't want to say you're part of the problem, but you worked on an ostrich project? Because every time we talk, you go, actually, John, I helped launch the ostrich team. You remember Team Ostrich? Called it TO, whatever. You never worked on an ostrich project?
I didn't. I did work on G-Force, though, which was about guinea pigs or hamsters. And I want to apologize to everyone for that because
did you work on the Wonder Pet? Were you part of the Wonder Pets at all?
I didn't, though. I've seen the Wonder Pets, and they were actually I was able to make it through an episode as a grown human next to a small one. Let's put it that way.
Where are we on Wiggle? How do we feel about Wiggle?
I don't feel good about Wiggles at all.
Captain Feather Sword? I don't love Captain Feather Sword.
I think there are some things that are happening in the Wiggles that are trying to infiltrate our brains that we're not even aware of.
Yeah, there's certain things I'm like, the name Captain Feather Sword to me sounds, I don't like the connotations that it triggers in my head. So that's
there's something sketchy here. I've got my
Okay. So this is a more serious question. Best part of the triathlon, worst part of the triathlon. You recently did a triathlon. Some people don't know that.
So the best part was appreciating that I could take something good out of something that was overwhelmingly disappointing. I knew going in a thing that I didn't even want to admit to myself, which was I did not prepare well enough for this open water swim. And I was terrified of it, in part because of ego. I didn't want to be embarrassed for not doing it well enough, but truly also in part because I like living, and the idea of drowning seemed like a bad way to make my living thing continue. And so when I was, you know, like the night before in the water, the morning of in the water, I knew, holy cow, I just have to depend now on my physical strength and my ability to do hard things and mindset to overcome what was a lack of training. And when I took the kick, I was in a panic mode. I mean, like I went about halfway down the mile long stretch, a half mile in, I took a kick, and I just like, I could not catch my breath.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
So the hardest thing certainly
It was a mile swim.
It was a mile swim.
Woo.
And the hardest thing for sure was I had made a promise to myself and had suggested to anyone and everyone that I was talking to that I was training for this and was going to successfully complete it. And I didn't keep a promise to myself. I didn't do the work that it took to get into the water with the confidence that I would have needed or the skill that I would have needed to acquire. The thing that I'm so grateful for though was that I now have such a handle on what it will actually take to successfully complete this when I do it the next time, a thing I wouldn't have had an appreciation for if I didn't put myself in the water in the first place. And so for like how that can be applied to frankly any part of my life, I love that because it's like, I'm going to have to putting myself into situations where I might not yet be totally prepared and I will likely not have an outcome that is perfect that first time, but I will understand better from reframing the failure of not getting it right the first time to know how to do it really, really well the next time I try to do it, which I think is just like, what a beautiful, beautiful thing to learn. And I got back home. If I'd come back home and had got the opportunity to tell my kids the story of crossing a finish line and completing a triathlon, it would have been a very quick conversation. There would have been a high five and we would have moved along with our day. I instead spent more than an hour with all four of my kids captive to this conversation of I didn't do the work that I should have done. And I'm disappointed for not having kept integrity with this thing I said I wanted and how I should have actually shown up. And I still kept going even after I got kicked and needed to ask for help, and asking for help was okay. Like, there were so many little micro lessons in it that ended up making the experience in storytelling with my kids so much richer than if I had just done it well. So that was also rad.
And where was the open swim? Was it in a lake?
It was in a river. This is like part of it. Which part of what was crazy is, so it's in...
Rivers have current. Like, okay, rivers in general have current.
This is part of what's crazy. So the Snake River is where it was. And because there was
current... I'm already not liking the first thing, Snake.
Because there was a current, my mind was like, you know what? You can get away with not having to do as much training because there's a current. You're going to be okay. And I convinced
body surfing. You can just catch a wave.
Yeah. I'll just float. I'll just go on my back and swim back. There were things that I convinced myself that I can overcome not having trained as well as I should have because there's a current. And the reality is that was idiotic. There's nothing like the experience of being in open water. And there was 2,800 people in this race. There were so
many
people.
It was a mosh pit.
Yeah. So anyway, good time. Now the thing is, I look back on it now, we're almost a week removed. Like, it was an amazing experience. And it was also this insanely emotional up and down roller coaster. But it's also when I think about the kind of memories that I'll have 50 years from now, this is one of those things that I'm look back on. Remember that time at 46, I tried my first triathlon and I had that thing happen. This is going to stick with me. So it's an amazing thing.
Well, speaking of open water challenges, I recently interviewed the executive producer of the show Alone on my podcast. Podcast called All It Takes Is a Goal. It's all about goal setting because I'm a goal nerd. He's the executive producer. If you've never seen the show, have you seen the show Alone?
I have. Yeah.
Amazing show.
Yeah.
And I was asking him, and it was fascinating what he said people learn on the show about themselves and their demons and what matters and what doesn't matter, because there's no pen, there's no paper. You're by yourself for maybe 100 days. But I asked him, who would you pick if you had to survive one person? You're out in the wilderness for a month, one person. So now I'm asking you, take Heidi out of the equation. That's an easy answer.
What?
You have to survive in the wild for 30 days, one person. Who are you picking?
I would probably pick
somebody don't go Bear Grylls or whatever. That's fake.
Yeah.
Answer. Somebody you know.
Yeah. So I would pick my oldest male friend, a dude named Paul. And I actually on Tuesday had a coaching conversation about how hard it is to make friends as an adult. And I referenced this relationship I have with him because it has in the friendship qualities that I wish you could just manufacture when you have new friendships come into play. I actually, bizarrely, and I'm not trying to shine your shoes, but you actually have some of the things that I love about this guy that I've been friends with for 30 years. And that is, we don't have to talk on consecutive days, but when I send a note, we can pick something up immediately. If I'm unavailable for a couple of days or you're unavailable, there's no judgment because we both have an appreciation for how busy things are. But I love my guy, Paul, because he's the guy who I can say anything to, and he is able to receive it, hold it, and not judge whatever it is in a way that allows me to fully and totally be myself. And if I was going to be in an environment where I am alone, the thing I think I would want more than anything is to be able to feel like I could experience and get everything you're meant to get from that alone experience as me, and not someone I think I need to be to keep somebody that I'm with feeling okay or posturing in any way or any of the weird curation that takes place in social media for sure. And so I just want to have somebody who's just one of my people who could see me and love me and accept me and listen to me so that I could process and write, journal, and do all the things that you'd hope to get out of an alone experience.
Why do you think it's hard for adults to make friendship?
Oh, I mean, I think there's a ton of reasons, but mostly I think it's there aren't a shared set of needs. There aren't a shared set of values. So the things that I need in friendship and the things that you need in friendship are connected to how we are uniquely wired, are connected to the complexities of our schedule, whether we have a partner, whether we have kids, how much we're doing, right? And so my availability to reciprocate what you need in a relationship is dependent on you and I being in somewhat similar places. And so I think it just starts with, we're in different places, we have different drivers, we're differently wired, but we also just have a lot of circumstantial stuff that changes how available we are to give what the other person might in fact need. Another thing though is we find ourselves somewhat a reflection of the people we spend the most time with. And so as we continue to evolve, I'm not the same person I was a year ago. And so the kind
of people,
hopefully always that's
the case, the goal.
That's the goal. But if I am moving, like I'm evolving, if I'm actually someone who's like on a growth journey, mm-hmm. and the people that I've been in friendship with are in a status quo, I'm not necessarily changing kind of mode, then I will inevitably outgrow those people if I'm looking for someone in my circle to push me to keep moving forward. If they're stuck and I want to move forward, I got to find people that are also moving forward. So I think it's just hard because a lot of times it's like with time spent, there's value placed on that relationship. And more, it needs to be, do we have a shared vision of what we're moving toward? Are we both in a growth mindset? Are we both interested in impact? Are we trying, you know, and in a world where my life is super busy, do they have an appreciation of the busyness and can they understand, right?
People can get really put out if they say, hey, I'd love to grab coffee. You go, cool, can we do it in 3 weeks? And they go, whoa, so busy. Like, if that's your response, like, probably not going to
It's not going to work. Yeah.
Like, it's not that I'm putting you off for 3 weeks. It's that I've got all these commitments that I'm trying to honor. And they're not like I'm on a yacht. Like, it's work stuff. Like,
yeah.
So that's, yes, that's the
thing. One of the things I will say this, one of the things that I think I didn't have an appreciation for before, I took it very, very personally. And now I've come to totally appreciate it. Some friends come into your life for a season. Like they are there to play a role for a window. And when they come and then go, their departure, whether you are the one that has to create some boundaries and step away and move forward, or if they're the one that's decided they can't engage anymore, it doesn't take anything away from the quality of the experiences that you had while you were in this friendship. It just means that that friendship has had its time come and go. And I think it's, you know, like it's an okay thing to both maybe be sad about the fact that you're not as close as you once were to this person, and also celebrate the fact you got the time that you had when you needed it most.
When I think the other thing is there's layers where it's almost impossible to find somebody where the husband or the boyfriend, whatever, gets along with the other guy.
For sure.
Or the girlfriends get along. And then those people aren't raised jerks. Because we've all had friends where we're like, we're great friends. And then they have some kids and you're like, oh, these people are raising jerks. And when my kids spend time with them, they come home like a jerk. So like, I love my friends. But like, and then there's friends you would go to dinner with. And then like the deepest level is vacation. And you go, okay, like call back to Disney. If you are get up early, open the park, like the train comes in and you want to be there first. And they're like, let's sit at the pool and go ride one ride. And you're like, nah, that ain't our Disney speed, dude. Like,
right.
You find out who your friends are real fast. You vacation with them and you'll be like, like never.
I've been on that vacation. I went on a vacation with couples to Cabo. And the first morning there was this knock on the door. Like, we're heading down to breakfast. I'm like, it's like 7:50. We're actually on holiday. We didn't even bring our children. Like, what is happening? But like, they were very much like the camp schedule where like, we got to start at 7:15. We're going to maximize every hour, every day. And it was like, no, we're going to intermittently see each other by the pool. That's how this is going to go.
You guys are like this and you intermittently see each other. We're going to run into each other in the lobby and go, hey.
We'll see what happens. Like, we're on the same vacation, but also kind of on separate vacations too.
That's so funny. Yeah. So I think that's part, but I think that is part of it. Cause the other thing is when you have a wackadoodle schedule, like you and I do, like we're like, if somebody goes like, hey, can you run? I'll go, yeah, let's do it at 11 a.m. And like, or like, let's do it at 2 p.m. But if they have a normal schedule, then that's a weird thing for me to say.
Yeah.
When I worked inside a corporation, I couldn't go do something at clock, but
no.
If I, you know, if you're working on your own schedule, then there's a different, you know, a different rhythm to it. I might be out of town for 2 days, but then I take a day off. You know, it's all this kind of stuff.
I ran into this one not terribly long ago where one of my kids' friends had really great parents. And so I now get invested and am close to these parents. And then my son and this other person, their child, are like, they have a falling out.
So now
the ability for me to stay engaged with these parents has been compromised by the little thing that's happening with my kids. So I'm like, all right, there are so many variables. Just hope that you get to have someone show up at barbecue, everyone smile and be happy
and hold on
in that
to it.
Moment.
And celebrate
that moment.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. Well, what a perfect place for us to end on. Dave, I'll respond to you. You texted me last night. I'll respond to you off of this about I get to see you in like 2 weeks.
That
actually meet you for the first time. You're going to be so tall. I already have a real...
I can't wait. I'm going to try and wear a shirt that has a pocket in the front so I can put you right inside and feed you bread. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Matt Chandler, the pastor in Texas, like if I'd see him at an event, he'd be like, you got taller. And he'd say like, can I just hold you? And I'd be like, and there's no real, like, I go, what am I going to say? Like, you have long arms. Ooh, what a terrible end. Like,
I do want to tell you, I do want to tell you this just so that you don't, I mean, like, I am coming to see you and like, you are the reason why I'm coming to town. I'm also going to go to Donald Miller's house after I see you. And I'm seeing Carlos the following morning.
That's an action-packed 24 hours.
I just don't want you to think, like, when you see me with other people, I'm not cheating on
you.
I'm celebrating
with
oh, yeah, for sure.
Because I feel like that's the right schedule. Like,
It is the right schedule.
I would want you to go to Donald's house after my house.
Yeah.
Like, I would want, like, my wife and I last night were like, can we fake our porch? Does that break it? Like, can I be like, oh, look at my porch. I don't live there. Like, can I have a stock photo of porch? I was like, nah, it's just going to be our regular. And then Jenny said, does Dave know it's hot in August in Tennessee? And I said, he lives in Texas.
I'm fine.
He's in Arizona. Like, he gets it.
You know what? The video person who's going to do a little bit of the shooting while we're hanging out asked if he should prepare for the banner to be in the background or not. And I said, oh, yeah, just plan on the banner in the background.
It's actually attached to a belt. I travel with it. It's like a steady cam, but it's a banner. So, yeah, that is at least until the next book comes out. That is attached to my book. That's awkward. I don't know what to tell you. You should have a banner. You better bring a banner. Like,
I'm going to make a banner.
Oh, have some kids. Have some kids. This is handmade by children. People get real sensitive about that.
It's going to be a Patio of Peace banner. I'm going to put it up. And if someone is not being peaceful, like, look at the banner.
Look at the banner. Oh, you're going to have a blast. Donald and Carlos, what an action pack. So, all right, Dave, have an awesome weekend. Good luck on your shoot today. See you, buddy.
All right, bye-bye.